Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilow, and with me as always...
My name is Ben Vernell, and with me as always...
My name is Adam Knox.
Why are we doing talking like that?
I don't sound like that. Oh, fellas, it's a big week in gaming, and we're here to cover absolutely all of it.
Yeah. It has been active.
And we're done.
This podcast has been timed perfectly with every Australian release date of the game that's coming out this week.
Mm-hmm. What?
Kentucky Route Zero didn't come out in time for me to play it.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I really want to play that game.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yes. Yeah. We can't already dive into the review.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, let's tread water for a little bit. No, I got my floaties on. Yeah,
we're going to have a mid-episode riff.
We can
duck out of the talk back into like,
what have you been doing today?
You have a washing machine? Yeah. What's the best clothes to wash? All of them? You've got to wash all of them.
Yeah. But Adam, no one's ever attempted a mid-podcasting riff and pulled it off.
The... Fake, what's that dumb TV term where you start?
In media res.
Yeah, you fucking nerd.
No, I'm Latin.
In media riff.
Okay.
So, and every podcast starts,
you know why it's named that? Because Reservoir Dogs starts out of chronological order.
Fuck my ass,
so
that's good.
It's in media res of War Dogs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've done a riff.
What is a movie?
Mom, I've done a riff.
What is a movie that either has the word machine or deus in it?
What about the movie Ex Machina?
Yeah. No, it came out too recently. It needs to be like the same era as Reservoir
Dogs. What about Days of Thunder? No. Deus of Thunder?
No.
Okay. The Machinist?
That's probably still too
close.
Too recent. Too recent for this guy.
Day, dog day, Deus Ex Machina's afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not good enough. But let's get back to this in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Speaking of Ex Machina, great film, Oscar Isaac, who's in that.
Yes.
Did you see this recently?
Yeah, I did see this.
There's a great comic book called Ex Machina,
right,
which is absolutely no relation to the film.
Mm-hmm.
But he has gotten the rights to the comic book. And he's going to make it. And I think also be in it.
Yeah, I think so.
So now he's just sweeping up as much of the Ex Machina cinematic universe as he can.
When they make a Deus Ex movie, he needs to jump on that and be playing J.C. Denton from the Deus Ex game.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And that's a prequel to Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that it's a prequel comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's really...
It's just right at the end here. It's just like, what the fuck?
Also, there's a robot here?
Yeah.
Have you ever read Ex Machina?
I have not.
It's really good.
No.
It's superheroes.
Ex Machina is that Monty Python sketch where he brings in that machine that's died, right?
Mm.
It is an ex...
Oh, my God.
And the title is from that line.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Terry. We know this is what you would have wanted.
It's a superhero who stopped 9/11 from happening.
So Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
Wow.
Mark Wahlberg should play this character.
Oh, yes.
That would be so much better.
Fuck. There should be a bidding war over it.
Yeah. He should have fired up over the rights. But as a result, he then runs for, I think he's either mayor or president of the United States, but he basically runs for office off the back of all this goodwill of people going, we love this superhero. So it's like basically superhero president.
Right.
It's cool.
Sure.
It's really good.
So nice. Like the current day, like right now.
Yeah. Yeah. A true hero running United States of
an
America.
An actual hero.
Yeah.
Being
yeah.
the president.
That we can all agree on.
God, I wish more games had come out this week. was there news? There's not even any fucking
Nah, I saw like a couple things that Stadia still sucks and they haven't updated it in like more than a month, even though it came out like fucking less than two months ago.
And they're taking one of the free games off the roster already. I think one of the three Tomb Raider games, so it's already redundant. But yeah, they're taking one of them off the rotation. Sucks.
Yeah, there was something about Destiny having a patch that like took people's money away.
Yeah, like the real money equivalent, you know, currency and items and shit. And then they took the whole thing offline.
Some bullshit about Cyberpunk being delayed because it wouldn't work on a fucking Xbox One. It's bullshit. It's being made to run on it. Of course, it's that. Of course, that's why there's a delay.
Right. Yes.
Because they're optimizing the game.
Yeah.
So no is your answer. Oh, no news.
Good lord. Well, what about this? How have you guys been?
Is this the middle yet? Cunt, how's Kentucky Route Zero?
It feels like it might well be the middle.
Very short episode.
11-minute ep.
Yeah, it's weird because like the last few years I've gotten used to January being pretty game heavy still.
Yeah.
It's when like some great shit has come out in the past few years, like Resident Evil 7 and The Witness and a whole bunch of other shit was coming out early year.
Oh, yeah.
And all those delays and... Well, there wouldn't have been anything coming out at this point anyway, but feels like the last couple of months. Death Stranding was the last like big game.
Big thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. And what's the next?
Monster Energy Motocross.
Yes.
3.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Did we get codes for that?
Not yet. We
got offered codes.
Got them. Oh, really?
Yeah,
do we?
They're in our email.
Fuck. God damn. Well, we're doing that next week.
We got a PS4, an Xbox, and a Switch one. Oh. Who will take which one? Yeah, that'll be next week. Here's the review. There's an embargo, so we're not allowed to review it yet, and I should be clear, I haven't played it. Here's the review. It's bad. I'm willing to jump out there and say that the Monster Energy drink game will be bad.
Okay.
But that's a preview.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
This is a preview. I haven't signed jack shit.
At least you've got low expectations.
Yeah.
So if it's mildly bad, it might seem slightly mildly bad.
It would seem incredible, yeah.
Nah, but I'm still harsh on stuff even if I think it'll be bad. That's why I hate myself.
Because we get a lot of emails from like just these random sources that are like, hey, here's this, you know, here's this game that's coming out.
Yes.
Let us know if you want. And they're just, it's never anything you've ever heard of.
Mm. Yeah, and it's more frequently, here's this thing that's related to a game, but isn't a game and is not an offer for a review code.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we seem to be on some mailing list for some company that, judging by the number of emails we get, they put out 80 games a week?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
None of which we're talking about this week.
No.
Which is fine. There's a lot of video games out, but I played Return of the Obra Dinn instead.
Mm.
I genuinely have been looking forward to Kentucky Route Zero, and I'm really annoyed that I looked on Wikipedia, and it said 28th of January.
Right.
But that means the rest of the world and Australia is ahead in time.
Right.
So it came out on the 29th, which is today here.
Yes.
So I haven't played it.
Yeah.
I played
That's
a little bit
of
it today.
That's my review of Kentucky Route Zero.
I'll talk about it a bit.
Yeah.
So now? I kind of don't quite follow. So it's been episodic.
Yeah.
And it's been like 7 years or something.
So I think it started development in 2011. The first one came out in 2013.
Right.
And
okay,
this
right.
is the fifth part, the final part that's just come out.
Mm. Right. So I think I finished. Well, I've just finished Act One. So I guess that was. Is it segment? Is it like? Is the acts the?
I believe
format,
so.
The chunks that they were released
if
in?
It was about 2 to 3 hours long, that is the first part.
Yeah, I guess it probably would have been roughly that, maybe a little shorter.
That's probably the first. I think they're all the acts. I think this is Act 5. So, yeah, I think you played the 2013 one.
Right.
Because I've never gone in on it because I hate the idea that stuff won't be finished.
Yeah.
And getting into it. That's why I'm not fucking looking forward to Final Fantasy VII Remake. But
well, if that is how it's chopped up.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'm glad I haven't done that either because I would have found that very, not unsatisfying, but I would have found that incredibly frustrating finishing at that point and then just being like, wait 2 years or whatever.
I don't know how the fucking memory on people who can appreciate that format of thing works, but they have better memories than me.
Yeah. This game specifically, this isn't like a Telltale game where it's like chapter one of a story, you can kind of remember a story. This is like, because it's all about the atmosphere and like puzzle solving.
Well, and Telltale are coming out 2 months later.
Yeah.
Well, ideally, they were.
Yeah.
But I'm like that with everything. Even TV shows in between seasons.
Right.
Like when a show comes back, I'm like, who the fuck are all these people? Yeah. Like most of the time I need
his
to like
pants are what shape? How are they square? Who is this?
Most
What's
of the time
he doing on the Squidward show?
I need how's he breathing underwater? I need to go back and watch like the final episode of the season before. Graphic novels, I'm the same.
Right.
Often there's like big gaps in between there. I'm like, I don't really remember what's going on. But so anyway, yeah, I played the first act. I love it.
Oh, wow.
I really love it.
I did not think that you were going to love it. I'm surprised. I'm genuinely surprised.
I generally don't love this kind of thing where you're not really playing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing too much. But the atmosphere and the tone and the vibe and just everything about it, it's just got this like great eeriness to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not even in terms of calling it a like a point and click, it's not even really that so far.
Mm.
In the sense that, you know, with I guess LucasArts is like the biggest example of that kind of game where you're able to pick something up and then you have work out what other thing in the room you could combine it with to
use monkey's paw on pineapple
and that sort of stuff.
Talk to dad.
Yes.
Tell dad. Everything.
Love him is grayed out.
The closest thing to like a puzzle that I've quote unquote solved so far is a thing where it's like it's just basically the very first thing that you do.
Sure, under the gas station.
Yes. So how much of it have you played?
Most of the first act by the sounds of it.
Okay, right. Yeah. So you're under the gas station, there's people that won't get out of your way, and then
they're sort of in silhouette. You don't see their faces from memory, is that right?
Yeah, you talk to them and they just don't respond.
Yeah.
So you're trying
to say
to them, hey, can you move because I need to get over to the switchboard? Mm. And you just observe them having conversations. It doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah.
And then I kind of did this by accident, but you basically turn a light off and on and then they're gone.
Yeah.
So then you can move on. And that, to call that a puzzle is a stretch.
Yeah. I think like they say something in their conversation of like, oh, that thing is over there. Or like, you dropped the thing. Where'd it go? Maybe it rolled to the left. Like, that's
right.
Why. Yeah, and they just say walk over there and you could see it in the dark.
Yeah.
So is it more approaching like interactive graphic novel type game than adventure game?
That's
maybe
what I'm liking. It feels like I'm kind of reading a comic book that's got like great visual style to it. It's like a moving comic book.
I think it's not so much puzzles, but it's like these little interactive short film moments of like, like the perspective changing when you do something, but that being interesting because it's like a filmic technique or a cartoon thing, or it's, I don't think it could just exist as a graphic novel and be interesting. Like, I think the interactivity is why it's
cool.
Good.
I agree. Yeah, there is stuff in it that's quite, filmic that really elevates it. But even just watching it as a film, I don't think would have that same. I mean, the fact that there's no voice acting, like it is all text, really adds to the eeriness.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first I was like, oh, I kind of wish there was acting in this. But, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, if stuff's voice acted, well, a lot of the time it can be poorly voice acted.
Sure.
Which massively detracts from the experience. Mm-hmm. I always like stuff that, you know, be it technical limitations or for whatever the reason is, if it's written well and you're just reading it in your head, then there's not like, oh man, the person acting this just sucks and it's really taking me out of it.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really into it. I'm really looking forward to powering through the rest of it because it's got, just such a fucking, just a great vibe.
Yeah.
So the fifth act of it has just come out.
So I think that came out like a week ago on PC and the TV edition, which is the console version.
Yeah, so now that it's complete, all the consoles get it as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, really cool. Really recommend it so far.
Mm.
Definitely, it's a thing where I was like, oh, this would be cool to sit and play through with my girlfriend watching it. Like, it's the sort of thing she would be into. But it definitely a good one to watch. There's just all these like little bits of detail in it, like the map where you, the way you drive around from area to area. So basically the setup is you're a delivery driver. You work for an antiques company. You're trying to find this address and you get told that the only way to get there is Route Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to find out how to get on to that route. And that's kind of the implication is that it's some sort of like otherworldly. Very magic realism kind of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, the style of it, like the way that the map is done is like very minimalist and very simplistic, the way you drive from place to place. When you pause it, you like the menu comes up and you can select multiplayer and you go down to that. I was like, how do you play this multiplayer? And it just comes up with a list of instructions that are like, play with a group of people. One person has the controller and is just playing the game until they see a piece of dialogue or a sound or something that reminds them of someone else in the room. And then you hand the controller to that person that it's reminded you of.
So
and you don't have to explain why. Which is just such a weird thing to have in a video. It's just like
very odd.
It's
yeah.
very odd, but I really like that that's just in there. It's like, here's how you do it if you want.
Yeah.
It's up to you. Yeah. Like, I just kind of like that that sort of strange direction is in there in a menu.
Yeah. It like, it harkens back to playing those like turn-based like worms and stuff when you're like kids and you're like, set up house rules of like how long you get to play for and when you swap over and stuff. I think it's like
classic
weird,
like playing a single player game. Like, yeah, every, when you die, you switch over the controller.
Yeah.
I think you'll like it, Knox. It's really well written.
I'm looking forward to playing it. Yeah, it's we'll like talk about it again next week, I guess, because we'll all have finished it. Hopefully by the
probably
day, I suppose.
Hopefully,
I
yeah,
think it's relatively short.
It could exist in like the Control universe,
right? Yeah.
Like that whole vibe, that Twin Peaks, X Files, like 90s.
Would you say it reminds you of the only weird person who's ever existed, Mr. David Lynch?
A little bit,
yeah,
but in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That multiplayer thing sounds like a good example of it just having a weird kind of personality to it.
Yeah. Like an intelligence and, sort of a little left to center vibe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know much about the size of the team that made it?
No, I know exactly when each part came out because I've like really been like, oh, I want to play this but not wanted to, but I don't know much else about it.
Yeah, right. It seems like it is very like a focused vision.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, if you told me it was just, like, one person's thing, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Well, and this is, like, if it was started in 2011, this is relatively early days of indie gaming boom
type stuff.
So this has been going for a long time. I would have to imagine that it's a small team.
There's all these nice little things, too. Like, you can essentially choose your, like, you meet someone early on and they're like, oh, that's a cute dog you've got. What's their name? And it just comes up. Oh, his name is, or her name, you just pick the options of like what the name is, of the dog is, and then every new area you're at, the dog is sitting by the truck, and you can just go and talk to it, and it's one-sided, but it'll just give you a bunch of options of like what to say to the dog.
Yeah.
So just you going, boy, it's pretty weird here, isn't it? Although, you know, I guess some people have their reasons for being like, whatever it is, and it's just like, to no benefit whatsoever, complete, just one-sided, but it's like, I'm still doing it at every area I'm in. Just adds to the kind of weird vibe and charm of it. Yeah.
So would you like to hear who designed, programmed, and composed and wrote this game?
No.
All right. So it's basically three names are repeated for every category.
Yeah, right.
The designers were Jake Elliott, Tamas Kamensky, and Ben Babbitt. The programmers were Jake Elliott and Tamas Kamensky. The artist was Tamas Kamensky. The writer was Jake Elliott. The composer was Ben Babbitt. So these three people... Yeah. Have basically, it sounds like, done everything in this game.
Cool.
Yeah, it definitely has that feel to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to actually playing it. I wish that the timing had worked out better. But hey, that's life, huh?
That is life.
Yeah. If only you could sort of go back in time and you could sort of view this whole scenario from a different angle, piece it together and find some sort of solution.
Well, if I was going to, instead of playing a different game to completion during the week.
Yes.
That is old.
Yeah.
But if I could go back in time with sort of some sort of like magical device, like a stopwatch or like a something like a stopwatch.
Shows
like
you
a,
the way in some
like pocket watch type of thing.
Yeah.
But if I was going to see things from that perspective, I want them to give me a fucking headache if I looked at them for too long, which Return of the Obra Dinn really does.
Yeah.
If you play that game for an extended stretch, it sucks.
So you know they give you a bunch of different visual options and they all give you headaches.
Yeah, they give you different bright filters. I played it with the LCD one, which is just pure black and white.
Right, right.
But Return of the Obra Dinn again, if you missed it.
Yes.
It's a game from, a couple years ago now?
Yeah, 2018 came out. Yes.
Yeah, Switch last year. I got that version, never got around to it.
Right.
Played it because I had some time in the... And it wasn't too long. It took me maybe 6 or 7 hours to finish.
Yep, sure.
But it's fucking real good.
It's a great game. I went back in on it last night after you mentioned you were playing it. I did mention to you guys, my save is gone. I think because I was playing on a different computer.
Right.
There was no cloud save or anything.
Oh, well.
It's
probably not the sort of thing you can jump back into easily anyway. Because it's quite detailed. What you do, if you don't know the game, I think
you're right, yeah.
You're solving a mystery of how a ship got back into port, basically, mm-hmm. several years after it went missing.
Yeah. With all of the crew dead.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone's not there, at least.
Yeah, yes, sure.
And you've got to go through the ship. You're like an insurance worker. Mm-hmm. You go through the ship and you've got to sort of develop a case for what happened.
Yeah.
So that insurance can be paid out or not as required.
Your goal is to basically identify each person.
Yeah.
Identify how they died and if they were killed by someone, who they were killed by.
So you've got a little mysterious box that you get given mm-hmm. with a pocket watch in it that when you point it at a corpse lets you go back in time and see the moment that person died.
Yes.
And so you're going through in this like very interesting style that is really cool to look at first, mm-hmm. which is this visual
sort of Commodore 64 or maybe
Apple
earlier.
II type stuff. Yeah. That's like the default one it goes to, and it's that like black and white, speckly, dithered kind of.
But the black is sort of like a dark, dark green, like an old CRT TV sort of thing. Yeah.
And that's the one you can change. You can change the filter basically to be like a blue whatever screen, some old IBM screen that looks green and all that sort of shit. All of them hurt the eye after a while, but it's a cool look.
It's a real choice, like a real design choice. It's apparently really difficult to do.
It wears off quickly too, is my one big criticism of it, is that at some point it was kind of hindering my enjoyment of the game because it does make it a little difficult to see. And though it's such a unique and cool looking thing, it isn't necessary or in any way tied into the gameplay at all. It doesn't relate to anything you're doing.
No, I guess not. It sort of evokes maybe like old 1812, you know, illustrations.
Sure.
That sort of thing, like a Moby Dick feel, maybe.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
But at some point it's real surfacey. And
it does hinder your ability to like recognize people, which is a key element of the game.
Totally. So you're going through and in these little tableaus that it gives you, the moment that someone died, you can walk around. It's one fixed moment.
Yeah. So it's like literally someone will be frozen mid action or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it's the second they died, usually.
Right.
So you've got to trace the path of a bullet to see who shot them or try and find them in this chaotic scene and they're being, you know, falling from something or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
you've
got to establish who they are, firstly. You have this crew manifest and you have drawings of each of the people. You've got to put together who's who through contextual clues, which is the huge, big, great, really well done part of this game.
Yeah, because it's like subtle or vague dialogue. So you'll get like the two or three sentences that precede the moment of their death.
Right, just on a black screen with subtitles.
Yeah.
And it might be, best case scenario, is someone goes, "Peter, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
And you go, "Someone here is Peter."
Yes.
And then you've got
Peter Griffin?
Well, Lois, I got to get off this ship.
Peter, perfect. What are you doing?
I'm Brian. I'm the cool one. Cool one. I'm the
those
one.
Are cool.
I'm the one that Seth MacFarlane thinks he's the, you know, I'm an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. He's the cool one.
Woman, I'm going to take Stewie's over the cool world. That's Mr. Burns. Anyway, we got our mid-podcast riffing.
Oh, what a fucking funny show.
Got a griffin than a riffin, don't we fucking think? Who gives a shit?
Big influence on all of us, it's fair to say. Family Guy, big comedic touchstone for all three of us.
Something that you don't want to be like is an influence still.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing that it does is giving you those vague clues that you really have to look for and actually think about. You have to deduce things from logic that it doesn't prompt you to do.
Yeah, and it also, along with the magical device, you get a book, and at the start of the book, it has a list of all the people.
Yeah, it's got the crew manifest.
It's all the names, and then it sort of fills in this book as you go with the scenarios, with vague details. You sort of are the person who goes in and makes those vague details more concrete.
Yeah.
There's like chapters, like the end is shown. There's like a whole bunch of stuff within that book that is also clues.
And you're choosing how they died from a huge list of things, plenty of which never come up.
Right.
There's
yeah,
a whole
yeah.
bunch of like red herrings in there. Mm-hmm. Some of the people you have to identify by really thinking about it. Like yes. some of them you kind of not even really thinking about it, but just in ways that I don't want to give examples of because
yeah.
it's really all there is in this game.
Yeah.
But in ways that you are proud of for realizing because they aren't in any way prompted.
Yes.
It's just actual logic that's been put in that scene of yeah. like, this person is near this person, so they must be in some way related because yep. they're here with them in that moment.
And as it goes cool. Goes along further, it's like, oh, this person was mentioned in this room, in this cabin, and someone else was mentioned, maybe this, a similar name or the same last name in a different cabin on a different deck, and now I've pieced together their relationship with two other people. Like, it's you yeah. really are deducing it. Like
the, on the crew manifest, yeah. it says this guy's from Scotland. I heard a Scottish accent.
Right, exactly, yeah.
What could it mean?
That's really cool because a lot of times with this kind of thing, the real world logic and the game's logic are very different.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, often you go, oh, I'm just solving this by, I guess what it means is this. I guess what the game wants me to do is this. This is what it means when it says da-da-da, rather than just like thinking, well, in actual real terms, if I was observing this in the real world, this is how it would go.
Mm.
And a lot of detective-y stuff in games is you're more like a fucking missing items finder.
Yes, totally.
You're walking around and you're looking for the paperclip, and then there'll be a subtitle saying, a paperclip, that right. must mean this.
And yes. you found it because when you walk into a room, you hold down Alt and all the things glow in the room.
Right, yeah.
You're
exactly.
like, okay, well, I pick up every item and they all relate to something.
And
so,
you're
yeah.
properly making what feels like, and it's, because the game is so well designed that it puts that stuff there for you to find. It is prompting you. I say it's unprompted, but of course it's all deliberately there.
Well, exactly. Yeah, everything in the game is programmed into the game.
Yeah, it isn't yeah. randomly made, but you are left the freedom to discover this stuff yourself and make those deductions in what feels like a really detective-y, clever way. It's a game that makes you feel clever.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when it came out, a lot of the reviewers saying they started like taking pen and paper notes and drawing out maps and things.
Nerds. Nah, you can do it all in your brain, man.
Yeah.
I was watching a real nerd. Yeah. No, I was watching fucking sport while I was playing it. I was fucking. Yeah.
Like all the best detectives.
Detectives fuck, man. Yeah. You can't. Yeah.
And they drink a lot.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
It's dead badass. I was wearing my duster. I had my fedora on. I was logged into Reddit. But yeah, it's got like an interesting enough kind of story.
Yeah.
It isn't the drive so much. Like once you've put it all together, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But those individual moments of putting together this huge crew and figuring out who they are and how they do it and being logical about stuff is super satisfying.
Yeah, I think I agree with the visual design. It's like, it's not necessarily beneficial.
Well, and at some point it genuinely just became uncomfortable to look at for me.
But I appreciate that it's like a very unique style.
It is.
I also think the sound design is great. Like the music that is there as well.
I didn't like the music.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it set the tone really well.
It's like this kind of stuff that Hans Zimmer threw away for Pirates of the Caribbean piratey music, and each like chapter has its own theme. I didn't get super into that, but the general vibe of it was good. Because that core thing of figuring out who everyone is and using pure logic to destroy feminists.
Game,
because that was so satisfying, I wasn't even analyzing any of the other stuff. Really.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
saying this because I have to.
Yeah.
And I don't have to. I can do what I fucking want. But you know, when you're talking about something, you talk about the pros and the cons. And I didn't think any of the dressing, though cool, really added to my experience. It felt like a separate thing, you know, when like a movie that is.
I know movies.
I've seen some.
So you know movies, right?
Yeah.
You know when you see a shot.
I hope he doesn't get too specific and reveal that I've never seen a movie.
You know when you see a shot in a movie that's like
yeah
some unnecessary fucking push pull, and you're like, that's cool in isolation, but why'd you put it in here?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Some unnecessary fucking big hallway fight or whatever. Like, this is all in one take. You know, why can't?
Right, right.
All of the visual style felt like that to me.
Yeah, right.
It's cool, but I don't...
It's not really justified in the world of the game.
No, it's a separate idea to the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And not necessarily a positive one for that long of a stretch of time and for when it's that separate and sometimes irritating for the actual specific thing that you're doing.
Yeah, I think my opinion on it is I like it stylistically. I appreciate that it was done, the technique and all of that stuff I'm all in favor of.
Yeah.
And I did, but I did find it hard to see some things.
It feels like you got like a cheat code on in one of the new Wolfenstein
games. Yeah,
right. But here's the thing though. If I imagine this game with a normal graphical style, I think it looks bad.
Well, I wonder how much their justification, like the people making it, whether they have like a deep reasoning behind, well, no, this is how it ties into the world of the game, or whether it's as simple and commercially driven as, you know what, a lot of indie games come out, maybe it might take people a longer time to gravitate towards this without us having something that really sticks out and is really...
It's a massive hook for, like,
totally.
If you're scrolling through, you know, Polygon or Kotaku and you see a screenshot, you're like, what is that game?
Well, I was aware of it a lot sooner than I would have been because of that.
Mm.
One thing where it does tie into the gameplay, I suppose, that's occurring to me now is a lot of what you're doing is identifying faces, but it makes the faces not look as distinct from each other as they might with... in quotes, normal graphics.
Sure.
Which kind of adds a layer of really having to get to know these people. And actually, when you see them again, you're like, I remember who that is.
Right.
Because I've studied their fucking weird little black and white face.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Aren't you glad I said and white? But
It's a lot of guys who are all wearing like bandanas and wearing puffy shirts, but some of them have eye patches.
And some of what you're doing is like trying to identify, like, does that guy look Chinese?
Right.
Okay, and
yeah,
every time the answer is, how can you know? How can you know?
Sure.
But it doesn't detract massively. I'm kind of harping on it too much. But
I almost saw it as like a feature, not necessarily like a fun feature, but like in the same way that there were graphical or just mechanical limitations of those old LucasArts games.
And whatever, at some point, like, why the fuck's Master Chief got to be green? Right. It doesn't matter. Yeah, like, totally. It's just a design choice. So,
I mean, I can imagine someone listening to this conversation and saying, well, so many indies that come out now are 8-bit and 16-bit themed. Mm-hmm. For basically no reason
cheaper
other than
and easier
just
to
aesthetically
make
aesthetically appear, and I kind of do like that it's I guess I've always kind of assumed that their thought was just imagine that this game was released on the Apple II. That's what we're tapping into, that this game has come out on this computer that you had when you were 6.
And I guess if maybe I had more of a depth of knowledge of Apple II style games, I might be able to go like, this is just like blah blah.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe it is, but it feels like pretty cool dressing.
Yep.
That isn't really necessary. And at points I was like, I wish I could turn it off.
Yeah, sure.
But whatever, it is what it is, and it doesn't actually detract. I really am talking about it too much.
That would be a funny flip if when you finish the game you unlock the filter that just makes it look normal.
So this is the guy who developed Papers, Please. Did you guys play that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. That was a great game.
That is a great game.
Really, like, well-written game specifically. I think, from the Wikipedia, just based on this style stuff, the guy himself wanted to
What's his name again?
Lucas Pope.
That's right.
He wanted to make a game using a 1-bit aesthetic.
Right.
So it was like a challenge, essentially.
Okay.
And it sort of was driven from there. It was all made in Unity, so it's not like he developed the engine or anything specifically.
It's just like a filter or whatever.
Some
sort of thing.
I
don't understand these things work. It's some sort of thing, I would imagine.
But yeah, I think he specifically wanted that aesthetic.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Whatever. It definitely, like you said, does set it apart from other stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a great game, very well put together. So difficult, I would imagine, to line things up out of chronological order and have you be able to develop in real world order in the order that you're following that is completely all over the place in the game world, a logical picture of what's happening that evolves naturally over time.
It's almost like you'd have to visualize playing through it as you're writing it.
Yeah.
Because it's like things like doors open that weren't open before as you go through it. It does unfold chronologically for the player.
But backwards in the story, like almost completely backwards. It goes like there's 10 chapters in this book and it's or 11 and it starts at the last one.
The end.
You see the captain of the ship shooting someone is the first tableau you see.
Yeah.
And you don't know who any of them are. You don't know that he's the captain. I've just given that away. But actually, no, you do. It's pretty easy. They go, "Captain, let us in."
Yeah.
And this motherfucker's like wearing a captain's hat, I'm pretty sure. So you're fine. But
it's it is impressively made and
really, really clever game.
Yeah, I really want to play it.
Do it then.
Yeah. Stop talking about it.
Do it.
The new update for Smash Brothers is out. I gave that a little bit of a go today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Blylith from Fire Emblem.
It sounds like everyone's getting his name wrong when they say it. Blylith.
Yeah,
it's Blylith. Like someone's forgotten his name. Oh, hi, Blylith.
It's never said in the game.
Blylith.
Because you put your own name in.
Yeah, Blylith. True.
Yeah, you name him whatever you want. Blylith? People just call him Teach. That's what he should have been in there as. Teach.
Yeah.
Teach.
Like Joker is the Persona 5 guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you can name him what you want.
But he... wait.
You name him in the game. In Persona 5, you give him whatever name you want.
Oh, yeah, but then he's... Yeah, right, but then his alter ego is
he's always
Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people, characters in the voiceover are referring to him as Joker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So gave that a little bit of a spin. Yep, it's a new Smash character with a bunch of sword-based moves.
Mm-hmm.
What I did think was cool was his classic mode where it's chronologically you taking on all of the other Fire Emblem characters that are in the game.
That's funny that they have enough of those characters now to make a full single-player mode.
It's basically Fire Emblem Fighters mode. And the second last battle you do is... the new stage that's in there, which is the monastery from Three Houses, and you fight three Blyliths that are their costumes are red, blue, and yellow.
Nice.
So it's as if you're taking on all the house captains.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Which is kind of funny, the idea that, like, you know, in the game you're leading one of them, and then you're in this battle where you're just beating the shit out of all three of them, including the one that you're teaching.
Yeah.
That's teachers, man.
That's true.
Back in the day, that was when schools were really schools.
Yeah.
When you could go outside and ride your bike. Yeah, we fell from trees and broke our arms, but we ended up okay. Global warming isn't real.
And then the final boss fight that you do is against the Crazy Hand and Master Hand, but it's a team battle with you and every other Fire Emblem character that's in the game.
Cool.
It's sick. Nice. Just like eight of you. Taking on, and you know, normally when you do those battles, just, you know, you just as one player, they can take a little while to kind of wear both of the hands down.
Yeah.
This one you do in 3 seconds flat because you've got eight other characters just wailing on it for you.
That's cool.
So I thought that was a nice little touch. Yeah. I always like the new characters being in there. Like the first thing I'll do is load it up and go into their classic mode to just see, because that's kind of the most interesting part about them is how have they themed this mode for this character.
And that's that whole game, right, is just lots of nice little touches.
Yeah, totally.
Which, cool to hear they're still at it.
Yeah, so good character. Like, it totally, playing as him, having spent a lot of time with Three Houses, it was cool getting to the monastery stage and hearing the music in the background. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm back.
Do you have that sword?
You do, yeah. You've got, what are the divine weapons? What are they called?
Yeah.
That you get in the game.
Yeah, that's what they're called, I think. Divine weapons.
But there's different ones. There's a bow that
axe.
You get. Yeah. So he's got all of them. They're all kind of attributed to different directions. But yeah, that's me fucking done for the week, boys.
I've been playing a lot more Dragon Ball Kakarot.
Oh, yeah.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. It really, for me, is just I'm going through the story quicker than if I was watching it, which is good because I don't have the time to watch it all again.
Game of 2020 so far for you?
I guess so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yep. It's good and everyone likes it.
Yeah, I haven't gone back to that at all.
I play a little bit of Earth Knight as well, which is like a, it's kind of appy. It's like a, what are they called? Endless Runner kind of thing.
It's an Earth Knight, that thing where you've all got to turn your lights off for an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag Earth Knight.
Yeah.
Come on, everyone.
Cat Empire plays every year.
It's basically you're running along the back of this big dragon and you, all you can do is you can jump and then you can control the speed that you're falling after the jump. Mm-hmm. So there's like enemies, so you basically are having to time your jumps but then time the rate that you're right. going down from the jump to like jump on enemies and what? Get more distance and height and stuff.
What on?
I'm playing it on the Switch.
Right.
It feels very appy, but yeah, okay. It's fine.
Man, the Switch store fucking sucks.
It really sucks.
There is so much bullshit on there. Yeah. I don't think people harp on about it enough. Mm. There is a ton of absolute shit.
It needs an overhaul or it needs big time quality control.
It's 90% bad content.
It's fucked. I hate looking at that. Because, like, there's so many of those games that are clearly mobile ports or just like bullshit PC games that were made for $80 and a fucking, in a bin.
Yeah, it's shit. It's shovelware
stuff. Some
with a computer
sitting in a bin. They're like, well, don't you want to come back into the office? No!
It's
I'm making Doctor 2! It's the sequel to Doctor.
Doctor 2.
It's the game about how you go to the doctor and you've got to just pick what disease it is because they've got boils and it all looks like shit.
My favorite doctor was Doctor the 13th Doctor.
Yeah, the 13th Doctor. Me too, bruh. But, like, it's all this
I don't know which one's the 13th one.
I think that's Peter Capaldi.
Oh, okay.
Peter Capaldi. It's fun to say his name.
Yeah. Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi.
Not my favourite Peter, though.
Feels like I'm speaking Italian. Peter Capaldi.
It's an Italian name.
Nah, he's Irish or Scottish. Capaldi? He's Scottish.
Capaldi?
Capaldi.
It ends with an I.
Yeah, that so does...
It has to be Italian.
Lots of Scottish words end with I. Ockeye. But
good lord,
the Nintendo Switch eStore is what the iPhone App Store is now, I guess. I was going to say when it launched, but it's mostly,
well, the App Store is, I would prefer to look at even, because
the App Store doesn't have like a latest thing though. That's the problem. If you get on the Switch eStore and it's got the most current thing there, so,
or coming soon, that bit as well.
Yeah,
it's just,
if there's a game that you knew came out today,
or Cow
even
Farm.
The day before that you want to get, that's a legitimately good game. You will have to scroll through like a few rows, but of just crap. To find
My Truck
it.
Life.
Yeah, God, there's some just, and I mean that's the thing is that there's I'm sure there's plenty of there is plenty of shit on the PlayStation and Xbox stores as well. They just organize. It's not the first thing you
but
see.
But there's not this sort of shit. A lot of this shit is not on there. And I don't know if it's because they're doing some sort of quality control or if it's just because there's more money to be made on the Switch.
Yeah, I just think with the problem is that it, like, that shit is the first thing that you see when you fire up the Switch store.
Yes.
They need like a more prominent featured page or like
I think
that's not in their interest to like knock things back, but they have a curated section or make it harder to find that
genre separation categories. Is
you
there
can
ways
search
to
yeah if you go to the search you can just hey show me all the downloadable content and sort it by popularity. It's all right,
okay,
but if you just scroll through recent releases, something that came out a week ago that's like a trip like one of their releases will be so far down the list by that time because there's about eight new shitty fucking
Monster Mansion.
Yeah.
And it's like some picture of a fucking shit looking vampire.
Yes. Yes.
Looks like an old 70s Russian cartoon.
Yeah.
And that cunt's one fang's longer than the other.
Yeah.
Looks like an absolute dick.
Yeah.
And you've got to look like at that cunt every day because he's always on sale for $2.
Yeah. Or it's Tales of Star Mountain. And it's like a shitty knockoff of a JRPG.
There's
some
bird holding a sword and you're like, who's this fucking bird?
Yeah.
I really genuinely hate going on the store for that thing and it makes the Switch feel like a piece of shit.
I like to go on the PS store and at least because I know that there are like deal sections and stuff on the eStore, but whatever it is about the interface is bad. You can go to the PlayStation store and it's like deals, featured, latest... The genres are all right there. It's sorted by popularity. And
yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know what it is about it, but it's a more intuitive design.
I don't mind the design of the Switch one too much. It's just the, yeah, the clunkiness of having all that shit take up so much of the main page.
There's
yeah.
a website called psprices.com mm. that I will, that I have an account on. And the account there is set up in service of finding out when there's deal. It'll
right.
So you can go wishlist things and or like just have a look on there. And it's an easier mm. way than going on all the stores of the different things
right.
to look at what's on sale. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what's currently on sale on the Switch. Motorcycle Mechanic Simulator for $1.78.
Good deal.
Fuck, it must
That's
be a good,
cheap.
A good game.
That's cheap.
It's on a major platform.
The Mims Beginning.
Ooh.
You've heard of The Sims? Yep. Well, fuck my ass. The Mims are here. He's a little alien that's doing some magic, and he sounds like The Sims.
Is Lep on there?
Lep probably should, is on here.
Insane if Lep isn't on
here. I've hidden a lot of these, actually, so I'm going to go to the Switch and have another look.
The Lep franchise would be pinned at the top for you, I assume.
Yeah. Well, I've already bought them all, so yeah, that's of true. Course I don't need to have it. Actually, mm-hmm. I need to just log out so that I can see all of them and it doesn't have... You can hide ones you don't... Like, that you maybe already own.
Yeah, sure.
Stuff like that. It's a good website. If
what is it
wants
called?
It's called psprices.com.
Right.
But it's got PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch.
Yeah, cool.
I think PS3 and stuff. And it doesn't have Steam.
Okay.
But whatever.
Steam has a good enough interface, yeah, I feel.
Exactly. Yeah. So hold on, let's go into Australia. I'll get back in there. Because I just want to read out some funny names for the, you know, 15 minutes more we should record.
What?
No way.
What? I reckon there's going to be 15 fucking minutes worth of Switch games that are on sale that seem bad.
Sure.
100%. Whether or not I should read them.
Yeah, that's
the
my
argument,
big contention, maybe. Yeah.
Well, you know, my podcast too. And I get to talk about Ultra Off-Road 2019, Alaska.
You should have a control of one third of the show's content.
Ships! How is that name not taken? Sorry ships. If I yelled. Tommy just turned. Ships. It's just called Ships.
Ships.
Do you want to hear a description of ships?
I could probably guess.
Take control of three special purpose ships and perform interesting missions.
Okay.
In the dangerous waters of the Baltic Sea. I was a dad, maybe I would have bought that. Bouncy yeah. Bob 2, $1.57.
Oh, Bouncy Bob?
Yeah.
Do you want to play Bouncy Bob 2 or do you want to play Billy Bomber? Because Billy Bomber's Ooh. Bad, but Bouncy Bob 2, badass.
Mm. Billy Bomber sounds pretty good.
Buy Billy Bomber or buy Bouncy Bob 2?
How much is Billy Bomber?
Yeah.
Billy Bomber's $1.57.
Yeah, okay. if whichever one's under
They're
$2.
Both $1.57.
Fucking oh. hell.
Billy Bomber.
Carb Mechanic Simulator Pocket Edition. I'm so sick of having to be tied to my console to
exactly.
play a Car Mechanic yeah. Simulator.
Finally, the one Switch yeah. game you can have in your pocket.
As long as you've got fucking cargo pants to put a Switch in. Epic.
Which you do right now.
Yeah. Catch a Duck, Shadows 2, Perfidia, Bus Fix 2019.
Fucking hell.
I'm going to go get my Bus Fix, which means I'm taking drugs.
These are all like the non-ironic version of Goat Simulator.
Yeah.
Like, you know how Goat Simulator is sort of like a take on this? These are just like... Have a bus.
They all look like the games that get made up to be in the background of bad TV shows.
Yes.
Yeah. These games are all made on that game dev story game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Redneck Skeet Shooting, Selma and the Wisp, Car Trader, Hotel Dracula, Chicken Rider, Gym Hero, Idol Fitness Tycoon,
Fuck.
Darkest Hunters, Car Mechanic Manager.
You manage the mechanics.
Yeah.
You send them out on different jobs.
But then you've got to load up Car Mechanic Simulator and do the orders
the
that you've given yourself.
That actually sounds cool.
Yeah.
Go Fishing 3D. I love Go Fish, but you know what? Not enough dimensions.
Yeah.
Theater Tales.
Good God.
It's just about a cast fucking each other. That's the only tales I've ever heard out of theater.
A lot of backstage
groups.
Massages.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cuphead. Godly Corp, Guess the Word.
Guess the Word sounds
they
great.
They really do sound
Guess
made
the Word
up.
Sounds really good.
Ladder.
Nope. Mechanic. Yes. You got it.
Yes.
Do we have a game for you? Little Shopping.
Oh.
Pet Care. I Want to Fly. Avenger Bird.
These can't be real.
King's Heir, Rise to the Throne. Muse Dash. That's okay. When Muse are late for a concert.
Ooh.
Almost There, The Platformer, Inferno 2, Back to Bed. not a subtitle, a separate one. I said it like it was a subtitle. The Bug Butcher. That old guy from 1700s London who used to murder prostitutes. Mm-hmm. Remember the Bug Butcher?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Dimension Drive. Serial Cleaner. Serial Cleaner.
C-E-R or...
No. Someone who's cleaned multiple times. The Forbidden Arts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Podcasting. It's about...
Paperbound Brawlers, Safari Pinball, Car Quest, World End Syndrome.
The coronavirus.
Foxyland 2.
All right, I think we've done
it. I think that's
quite enough.
I think that's
Lost Orbit, Terminal Velocity, Instant Tennis. I'm sick of having to wait for my tennis.
Yeah.
Oxygen.
That's what I'm doing right now. Once we're done with this, I'm watching the tennis.
Yeah.
99 seconds, Rock and Roll Racing.
God, I could go some Instant Tennis right now.
Yeah.
Superstar Path.
This is like Knox is playing tennis up against the wall.
Just Glide. That's my favorite Lady Gaga song.
All right, before we wrap up this episode of Filthy Casuals,
yeah.
We got an email from one of the people who worked on the exhibition that we went to.
Did we really?
Yeah,
I didn't see this.
The guy who worked specifically on the VR technology.
Oh, really?
I believe his name was Keith.
Yeah, right.
Listened to the show.
That's cool.
Yeah. So thanks for emailing in. Told us that the headsets are Oculus Rift S's.
Ah, nice.
Well, Keith, you've won a copy of Balthazar's Dream on the Switch. $1.80.
You can take that.
We find out Keith worked on all of these games and we've just completely eradicated all the goodwill we built up with him.
Sure. Well, if you don't want a copy of that, if you worked on it, you can have Mr. Blaster.
Kenny, Kenny.
Sorry, Kenny. To make up for our mistake, you can have a copy of Tap Skaters.
Oh.
Or Gunpowder on the Teeth Arcade.
Oh,
the arcade edition.
Yeah.
Nice. More souped up than the home version. Had to scale it down.
The Child's Psyched.
I bet there's at least...
Bot Vice.
You've read out so many that like
that one.
Someone listening will have played some of these.
Well, I mean,
so let us know if you've played any of the games Adam... How about this? If you've played any of these games that Adam read out, excluding Cuphead, let us know and send us a little review and we'll get to some of them next week.
Doesn't Levins do a podcast about all of those games?
all the small games. Yeah. And they don't come much smaller than $1.79.
Yeah. Has he reviewed Estiman? The game that I'm assuming is about a superhero who estimates.
Oh, nice.
How many people are burning in that building?
Yeah, but he's just lazy. He's like, zero.
Yeah.
Looks like about none from here.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine.
Grab Lab.
Grab Lab? Really?
Oh, my favorite comedy show in Melbourne.
Are you serious?
Grab Lab.
Fuck yeah.
Nice.
You gotta get Huey onto it.
Yes.
Fly O'Clock.
So in. So in.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
The Mahjong.
Also, hi to Huey if you're still listening to this episode.
Oh, friend of the show, Nick Cody. Yes. Was texting me this morning, telling me that his wife bought him a Switch recently as a present, and then now calls him a nerd with a Game Boy, which something about getting someone a gift and then roasting them for having that gift that's a sick move.
Yeah, that's some queen shit right there.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
yeah. But he's been playing Breath of the Wild and loving it.
Oh, nice.
Yep,
I didn't think that would be a very Cody-esque game.
Me either.
Yeah.
And according to his text, neither did he.
Yeah, right.
Pleasantly surprised.
Wow, maybe he is a fucking nerd.
I thought he'd be more into Frederick, Resurrection of Music.
Oh, God.
We should get him on to review Monster Energy Motocross
3. Oh, fuck, we actually should.
That'd be fun.
I wasn't very keen at the start, but I'm hooked.
$2.50, Event Horizon.
Oh, great. Cool.
He said, I wasn't keen at the start, but I'm now hooked. A true open world game. It fucked up Fallout for me. Mm. Yeah, go try and get Calamity Ganon, you four heart, no stamina cunt.
Okay, yeah.
The Cody review.
Yeah.
All right, two more. Princess Maker, Go-Go Princess, Teddy Gangs.
Teddy Gangs sounds pretty serious.
Yeah, I'm done. I put the phone away. I'm sorry about that. I had to get it out of my system. I fucking hate the Switch store.
Yeah.
All right, well, next week we'll be back. We'll be reviewing the Monster Energy Drink video game across all the consoles. So
yeah, yes. Yeah, real good consumer advice that episode. Which one?
Consumer
is
advice: if you're a Monster Energy drink consumer, stop before you die.
Oh, should we all just get? Should we all just chug a big can of it before we record?
Yeah.
Just be fired up with negative opinions about this bad game.
Yeah, I think we should actually do that.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, that
if you just if you have an energy drink before recording, you might end up spending 20 minutes reading Switch games. Maybe don't do it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes.
Check out the recently concluded Let's Play of Until Dawn on our YouTube channel. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for links to our social media and our Patreon.
Yes.
If you support the show, you can get an extra episode every month.
Every week.
Sorry, every week.
Yeah.
And yes, we'll be back next week. We'll dive into a bit more Kentucky Route Zero. So we'll have more thoughts on that.
Yeah.
We'll play the Monster Energy drink. Mm-hmm. And yeah, plenty of other stuff to come.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
now that I've come to, I'm genuinely sorry about spending so long reading out those Switch games.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.